it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast,
a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian covers Oregon State. We got him on the show. Nick Daschle, how you doing, man?
Good. I got a quick question for you.
Go.
So, the schools don't want to call this game the Civil War anymore. What do we do? Since there's not a name for it, we're going to write probably 30, 40 stories this week going into the game.
We've been talking about this. You need to tune in. This is what we have been discussing.
I'm busy. I'm busy.
Anna thinks it's a terrible mistake that they did not have a name ready. Like, here we are. We still don't have a name for this thing. Like, what a misfire. This is, mismanagement. I know they got other things on their mind, but why don't they hire you and I, put our heads together, pay us about $100,000 to come up with a name, and we'll do it on a weekend.
They don't have $100,000 to hanging around, let alone $100. So,
Oregon State Oregon State got a W. They beat Cal, showed some grit, made some plays. How are they feeling coming out of that game, coming into their rivalry week?
Feeling good. I mean, I expect them to play their best game of the year Saturday, and it was their best game. I mean, it was far from perfect. I mean, you could make a case that Cal, was probably the better team on the field, but the Beavers made the plays when they needed to make them, and the defense buckled down in the second half. Cal had a punt return for a touchdown and a kickoff return that went to like the two, and both of them got called back for penalties. Those sort of breaks, and their quarterback threw for a million yards, but Oregon State made the plays when they needed to, and they won the game, so they're feeling good about that.
The quarterback, Tristan Jebbia, he's got to make some plays if they're going to beat Oregon. Do you have confidence that Oregon State can get him going and get him in position to make some big plays and hurt Oregon?
Yeah, I asked Jonathan that today. He's hesitant to say that, we haven't got it going yet, partially because he said they haven't had that many plays. Both last two games, Washington and Cal have had considerably more offensive plays than Oregon State, in part because Oregon State had several, quick hitter. They had the, one-play touchdown drives in the first quarter last week, and they had the block punt against Washington. Sort of, gave the other team a lot more offensive plays. So they haven't had a ton of plays, but, at some point, they're going to need to start stretching the field. And they tried a little bit. They tried some. They threw, first play Jebbia threw was a deep corner to Quatariano for the touchdown. And, they're just going to have to try to get the ball down the field, because the problem will be is if Jebbia can't prove he can get that 20 and 30-yard throw down the field to someone. And I'm not saying Jebbia can't do it. The receiver's got to get open and the offensive line's got to block. But if they don't do that, then all of a sudden the defense is going, they're putting nine guys in the box and say, hey, they're going to make him beat you. And, at that point, they're going to have to prove they can do that. So Jebbia, I think early on, I think they'll try to still go with the same approach, where the running game is the thing, but I think early on they'll try to take some shots down the field just to, they've got to loosen up Oregon a little bit.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian is with us. The Oregon State defense, with Cal driving, made a play. They came up with a pick in a key situation. Does that confidence from making that play alone make them better? Did they look improved to you on the defensive side of the ball against Cal?
They did in the second half. I mean, they couldn't stop Cal at all in the first half, but in the second half, they looked a lot like the defense that was playing at a high, you know, at times at a high level last year. I think they had 7 of their 9 tackles for loss in the second half, and they held Cal to like 120 yards offense. And really, Cal only moved the ball a couple of times to any degree in the second half. And you know, they were able to get through, you know, Cal's offensive line and make some plays behind the line of scrimmage. So yeah, I mean, they made some strides. Now, I mean, the defense has not shown up in any of the 3 games for the full 4 quarters, and it was pretty much a sieve the whole first game. And Washington, you know, they kind of, you know, buckled down after halftime in that game, and certainly did Saturday. So, but I don't think one half of defense is going to get it done against Oregon. So, you know, they still have a ways to go.
I look at this game, I think you and I probably see it a lot alike. I know we've talked about it off air, but I think, you know, this game is closer than the 16.5 point spread that it opened at. I think Oregon State can hang around. It'll be, can they, because I think they can run on Oregon, can they make enough plays in the pass game to pull off an upset? I'm not there yet. I'm not ready to say that yet. But what would winning this game mean to Oregon State? It would make their season. Like, is that enough to give Oregon State a little bit of an emotional edge in this game?
Oh, certainly. I mean, yeah. You all of a sudden you're looking at 2-2 with you know, not a real great Utah team or Stanford team coming up, and I mean, suddenly you're looking at, you know, possibility of a winning. You know, Friday's game is really the difference between a winning and losing a season, because if you don't win Friday, then, you know, then you're going to have to win your last 3 to have a winning season. But, you know, just beating Oregon any year is, you know, is a highlight to a season for Oregon State. It has been, shoot, for the last, you know, 3-4 decades. So, you know, anytime they could beat Oregon is a big one. But, I'm with you on that. Unless they can make some plays in the passing game, I don't know if they can win the game just with defense and Jamar Jefferson alone.
Why has Jamar Jefferson been so effective? Because if I'm a defense, I go into the game planning and going, look, we're not gonna let him beat us. We're gonna make, you know, Tristan Jabbia beat us. And yet, week in and week out, I have seen Oregon State effectively run the ball when everybody knows they're gonna run the ball. What are they doing?
Well, he's really decisive at making a cut. He doesn't, you know, dance around back there and try to figure out where he wants to go. He finds where he wants to go, and he makes a run at it. And if you saw his two long runs against Cal, I mean, he's got speed. He doesn't have sprinter speed, but he's got good speed. And this year, he's more physical than he's been his first 2 years. You know, last year was kind of not a throwaway year, but he was hurt a lot last year. But I mean, since the middle of his freshman year, he hasn't been quite right. Just because as a freshman, you know, he really played well early, and then, you know, sort of wore down toward the end of the year. But this is the year where he's feeling good. He's got all his what they say the college muscles now, and he's got good speed, and he knows where he wants to go when he gets the ball. So those things make for a pretty good combination.
We're talking to Nick Daschle of the Oregonian. Health-wise, injury update, Oregon State, what are you seeing and what are you hearing?
They're in pretty good shape. I mean, the only player that they haven't been able to – well, the two players they haven't been able to get on the field really is David Morris because of COVID, and Addison Gums because of hamstring. And I don't think – Gums doesn't sound like he's going to play this week. But it sounds like all 4 of the players that were on, you know, COVID quarantine are now back with the team. And Jonathan says, well, you know, they'll see how things go this week, whether they'll play or not. But, you know, Morris would be a bit of a lift if they could get him back, because he's a 2-year starter that was probably one of their 2 or 3 best players on defense. They lost a couple of guys Saturday, but Jonathan said they were, back practicing today. Alexander Skelton, who actually didn't play Saturday, the tackle, he would make defensive tackle. He makes the difference in the middle. And then Simon Sandberg, a defensive end, he left the game, but he was practiced working today. So, we'll see. But those they're really in pretty good shape, from a health standpoint.
Dashiell, Jonathan Smith in this year, I think it's going to be hard to look at whether or not this year was a step forward, a step sideways. Where are you right now in sort of the evolution or the trajectory of this program?
Well, that was another thing I sort of asked Jonathan today. They've won, Saturday was the third time they've won a game where they were behind in the fourth quarter. So that's kind of an important step for a program. And so, I kind of asked him what's the next step. And he just said, just plan more consistently and plan more from a four quarter standpoint. I think a big step would beating an Oregon. I mean, they haven't really beaten a really good team yet. I'm probably blanking on somebody, but I don't think they've beaten a really good team yet, like an Oregon. And then, maybe taking a Pac-12 game that is maybe a coin toss going in, one where they just take over from the start and dominate and kind of win going away. That would be another step too. But I just think, the offense is still missing, a little bit this year. It was definitely more complete last year. They need to get the passing game going to get this thing, get it back to where it needs to be. And defensively, I mean, it's always going to start up front with those guys, with any defense. And until they get some really big bodies up front, it's always going to be a challenge. But right now, I just think, beating a good team would be maybe the next step for this team.
Yeah, I think their best win was probably the Arizona State game last year, where they beat them in a close game, and it was maybe Arizona State was looking past them, but that was an 8-win Arizona State team. I think their best, performance of this year, you could argue it's Cal, but I thought, they pushed Washington pretty hard there. I think a lot of people see Washington and Oregon as a very close game. That was a road game at Washington. And is that losing logic for me to say I think Oregon State can play Oregon close because of the Washington game?
No, I would tend to agree with you that Washington might have been their best game. It's hard to, when you win a game, you win. That's always going to trump a lot of stuff. But they did play well in quite a bit of stretches in the Washington game. And I do think Washington is pretty good, and I think Oregon's going to have their hands full. Where is that? Is that game in Eugene or Seattle?
That game's in Eugene. That's the finale, the finale.
Kind of looks like the North Championship game now. Right now the line is I think it's like 13.5 or something like that. I still think it's going to be closer than that, but I'm with you on I don't see enough from Oregon State to say it. They can win the game, but Oregon's, Oregon hasn't looked like, last year's team for sure. So, there's a possibility.
Appreciate you, Nick Dashiell. Read him on Oregon Live. Read him in the Oregonian. Follow him on social media. He's the best on the Beavers. Leave it here. Every day on the show, we do the Culligan Water Cooler Report. Today is no different. My shout out to my friends at Culligan of Oregon, culliganoforegon.com. If you want clean water that tastes great, if you want to get your water tested, go to culliganoforegon.com.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
We've talked about fleets on this show, Twitter's new thing. If you don't have Twitter, bless you. But I do have Twitter, and I have been posting fleets just kind of experimentally. I've been posting quotes And a quote I posted today along with a photograph of the beach was, you know, hey, I wish I would have worked one more day, said no one ever on their deathbed. I subsequently received a direct message from a follower who said, well, you're working the wrong job. And I dismissed it as somebody who maybe woke up and is facing a bad week of work, or maybe woke up and is, you know, not feeling good about themselves or whatever. I mean, who, like, that's your day? That's what your, that's, you know, you're going to take some time and effort to, you know, to put that crap out there. I subsequently told the person, look, if you're on your deathbed and you're thinking you wished you were to work one more day, reach out to me and let me know that. DM me while you're on your deathbed. My point is this. This is a week where we're supposed to have some gratitude, right? We're supposed to look around and give thanks for the things we have, and maybe, you know, don't feel sorry for yourself as much as you would in any other week, and even during a pandemic. But while you're doing that, don't be afraid to set your job down. Don't be afraid to look at what's important in your life. I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy your job. I do. I love my jobs, plural. I love it. I'll probably do it longer than I should. But I don't love it more than I love my kids. I don't love it more than I love my family, my wife, you, my friends. You know that. It won't be this job that I'm thinking about on my deathbed. That's the Culligan Water Cooler Report. Leave it here. More BFT still ahead.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.